ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्णः
शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्णः
पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः
पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः
हृदयान्तःस्थो ह्य भद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सताम् शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्णः
शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्णः
पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः
पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः
हृदयान्तःस्थो ह्य भद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सताम्
Shrinvatam.
Those who have developed the urge,
to hear the message of
Swakataha,
his own words,
Krishnaha,
the personality of Godhead,
Punya,
virtues,
Shravana,
hearing.
Kirtanaha,
chanting.
Hridi antakstha,
within one's heart.
He
certainly.
Abhadrani,
desire to enjoy matter.
Vidhunoti,
cleanses.
Suhrit,
benefactor.
Satam,
of the truthful.
Translation, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Even the way that Prabhupada has translated these verses, they're so nicely composed. Messages of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna are non-different from Him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But, unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the pure devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress in the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. Final paragraph. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Shrinvata Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Sitam. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshura Niditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Ina Bhutare Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Tadantik. Like a detailed roadmap. What to do to get the urge to hear Krishna Katha. And when one has developed that urge to hear Krishna Katha, what transpires? Shunvatam. Those who have developed the urge to hear the message of Krishna. Svakata Krishna. Hridyantaksto Yabhadrani. Krishna, who is in everyone's heart and is the benefactor of truthful devotees. Satam. Prabhupada has composed this. In the Sanskrit language, the positioning of words doesn't make any difference. It's so to know how it fits together, in part it's based on the word endings, but it's also very much based upon the realization of the translator. Something like there's textbook astrology, and then there's someone who's guided by Super Soul, and there's textbook Ayurveda, and then there's somebody who's guided by Super Soul. In other words, there's something like, I forget how many hundreds of different pulse readings. So even just to detect what it is and what to speak of putting it all together, and it's a gift, a God-given gift. And what to speak of understanding the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although it's transcendental literature, ordinary people can't, just by grammatical rule and Sanskrit knowledge, they can't understand. What to speak of composing it in such a beautiful, sweet way in the English language, in the translation. There's, in our songbook, there's the translation of the Dhamma Dharastakam prayers. Unfortunately, they keep publishing it. Translated by Jai Sachi Nandana and Achyuta Nanda. And they changed, or they made a different translation than Prabhupada's translation, because technically certain things mean certain things, and so they kept a more literal rather than a poetic rendering of the Sanskrit. And it's like eating sawdust in comparison to how Prabhupada's translation flows so nicely, so sweetly. Maybe that's just my subjective thing. But the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's transcendental poetry. The fact that Krishna is situated within the heart is understood just by Hridyan Taksto. Krishna is situated within the heart. And it's He who is the benefactor of the truthful devotee. It's He who does the cleansing. We're hearing the messages. The messages themselves are potent. But it's Krishna from within the heart. And He is doing the cleansing of the abhadras. Literally, abhadra means inauspicious things. And what's the inauspicious things? The desire to enjoy apart from Krishna. The desire to enjoy matter. The desire for material enjoyment becomes cleansed. And that comes from that effect. When Krishna sees the urge to hear His messages, then the messages act in such a way, or Krishna uses, you could say, the transcendental broom in such a way that it acts to cleanse the urge, even the very root the desire itself, the impersonalists, they have this idea that one should become desireless. Prabhupada's emphatic teaching is that will never happen. That is a fool's paradise. desire is concomitant with the soul, and so desire must be there. So the desireless state is to desire in relation to Krishna. However, the desire in relation to Krishna is blocked by our urge or tendency to go somewhere besides Krishna to enjoy. But there isn't any place besides Krishna. And so illusion is created. That's what Maya is, the kingdom of Maya is, where things appear to be apart from Krishna, or they just exist on their own. And so our scientists are very kindly providing the so-called scientific justification that everything comes from matter. There is no God. Just like this case that went to the... Such a mad country we're in. A case going to the Supreme Court because an atheist wants his son to not have to pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under God. He wants his son to grow up where God is dead. And so it goes to the Supreme Court. God is dead. And the Supreme Court says, well, he didn't have the proper technical detail for saying the son was his son, so we can't rule on this. We reject it. Whether God is dead or not, we're not going to say. Rubbish. The general statement that Prabhupada makes is that the root cause of suffering is ignorance. Root cause of all suffering is ignorance. But what is that ignorance? The ignorance is having a bad attitude towards Krishna, wanting to compete with Krishna. That's really ignorant. And that brings suffering. It is the cause of sin. It's the cause of desiring material enjoyment. And then, so, the religious thing is to desire material enjoyment piously. And also brings suffering. Desire to enjoy apart from the codes of God, that also brings suffering, a greater suffering. But desiring material enjoyment brings suffering. Desiring happiness apart from our relation of happiness with Krishna. So Krishna sends, without being asked to do so, he sends representatives here and there, all over the world, to grab people by the shoulder and wake them up. They're slumbering in the lap of the witch called Maya. And Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kotra Nidra Jayo Maya. Sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya. So those persons who Krishna sends, the previous verse, those persons should be received with an eagerness to serve them, and the eagerness to serve them brings the eagerness to hear the messages, and the eagerness to hear the messages brings the super soul within the heart to the point of cleansing the desire for material enjoyment from the heart. So that the message of those canvassers can be understood. The eagerness to hear fructifies in understanding. And understanding becomes possible because the heart becomes cleansed. The urge for material enjoyment. Shrinvatam. Those who developed an urge to hear this message. So, Prabhupada takes this message and runs parallel with it, the Shikshastakam verse. Krishna gives his holy name and the glories and glories and glories and glories. Two first verses of Shikshastakam, just itemizing the glories of the Lord. All of his spiritual potencies are invested in each and every one of his names. He so kindly makes his association available right before one, just from the chanting of his holy name. And there's no hard and fast rules. Anyone is eligible. It can be done at any time. Completely extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence, cleansing the mind, cleansing the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. At any time, anyone can engage in this, but how unfortunate. No attraction. No attraction because of offenses, and the first of the offenses is to see in some ordinary way those things that those ways by which Krishna manifests himself in this world. His very loving devotee servitors and his scripture and his holy name and the process of devotional service itself and the glories of the holy name, and seeing all these things in some material way or trying to bring them into material utilization. That, so there has to be a fundamental desire to make the spiritual connection. Listening to Prabhupada giving lecture on the famous Nectar Devotion series in Vrindavan. I listened to this one section several times because he said it very quickly. Somebody asked, discussion was about a pure devotee, and somebody asked Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee? And Prabhupada said, a pure devotee is someone who has no motivation. Then he qualified it and said, they may be the beginning, intermediate, or advanced stage. They're a pure devotee if they don't have motivation. So it's not pure devotee means the top has attained the topmost stage of spiritual realization. But whatever their stage may be, the topmost stage of spiritual realization is seeing every living entity is engaged in Krishna's service, seeing how it is so. The Mahabhagavata Vaishnava, everyone is engaged in Krishna's service. They're seeing the spiritual world. You see, beyond the covering and the conditioned manifestations of the soul, they see the soul. Everyone's engaged in Krishna's service. Except themselves, of course. So that topmost stage of realization is not the criterion for pure devotee, at least in this particular context. But not having motivation, what is that not having motivation? It's the same as what's said in the second paragraph of this purport. That is, one who desires to go back to Godhead, one who desires to connect with Krishna. Not taking up devotional service because of some apart from Krishna interest. I want or I don't want. I want some recognition, or I don't want some suffering, or I want relief, or I want. But, so that's material desire. Or that's selfish desire, but desire to come to the position that my relation with Krishna should be established. I want to be situated in that relationship with Krishna. That person is the unmotivated person. Because it's their motivation is there, but it's in relation to Krishna. Krishna's calling. Gaurachandra Bole. One hears the call. So that's this word satam. Vidhunoti surit satam. The truthful devotee. Krishna becomes the benefactor for the truthful devotee. He sees whether or not there's motivation, and when there's to the degree there's not motivation, there's attraction for the message, because it's the means of purification. The holy name and the glories of Krishna and the process of devotional service, how to serve Krishna nicely. They're attracted to that. And attracted to that means they apply it. And the application is the cleansing. The hearing is the cleansing, and further cleansing is the application. Just listening to Prabhupada in a room conversation in Mayapur, and I could detect the voices in the room. Jayapataka Maharaj was there, and Bhavananda was there, and Parivrajakacharya from Mayapur, he was there, Brahmananda was there, and they're talking about how wonderful it is that this Mayapur temple was developing. Now devotees from all over the world could come and take part in the getting purified in the holy dham. And Prabhupada was saying, now you have to carefully manage. Krishna has given all this. He was saying, I'm not someone special. My Guru Maharaj gave me this order. I've come to the West. So many of you very kindly have joined me. Now, I desired like this that our Western devotees could get purified, come to the holy dham of Mayapur. Krishna has provided. So he explained this principle, that if one simply desires to serve, Krishna will give all intelligence. Krishna will give everything that's required. That from our side, the requirement is the sincere and selfless desire to serve. That's the satam word in this verse. Vidunoti surit satam. And then Krishna cleanses from the heart the desire to enjoy in any other way. Desire material happiness. Krishna cleanses that from the heart. So that there's nothing else. Just our desire to serve. That's in relation to Krishna in a favorable way. That's the spiritual world. This world becomes the spiritual world. Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, what will happen if everybody becomes a Hare Krishna devotee? It will not happen. What if everyone became your follower? The whole world became Krishna conscious. It will not happen. But if it were to happen, then this place would become Vaikuntha. Or for anyone that does, the place becomes Vaikuntha. The place of Kunta becomes Vaikuntha. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. And gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. The restlessness when in contact with the objects of material enjoyment. Just a little footnote, Prabhupada. This is written from a male perspective, so it says women and money. In a couple of places in Prabhupada's books, he says, whenever you see women, you should understand, right, it's in lectures, when you should understand it's from a male perspective. That means from a female perspective, you could add it and say men. So it's not just women are bad and men are good, but it's the attraction of enjoying the attraction in the mood of enjoyment for making the opposite sex one's object of enjoyment, and in pursuit of that as one's happiness. That's the issue, the spirit of independent enjoyment of the object of choice. And the mind that has, is carrying the conception, I can enjoy apart from Krishna, then bringing that person, or the mind of that person, in contact with the object, the mind becomes restless, and contemplation upon the personality of Godhead cannot take place. The purification doesn't happen. As long as one, so holding on, there's these two things. Holding on to an expectation for enjoyment, then the attraction for spiritual life becomes less. Let go of the expectation for enjoyment apart from Krishna. On the strength of good association, the aptitude of rendering service and hearing with great attention and respect from such persons, the attraction for the message of Vasudeva comes, the tendency for enjoying apart from Krishna is cleansed away. It's the very subtle event of modifying or transforming desires from material to spiritual, from lust to love, from independent to loving dependency. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees when he sees the devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him. The Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. So, the hearing is that help, the extending of this message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, just as Prabhupada so laboriously, assiduously worked to bring this Srimad Bhagavatam, knowing what it would do for anyone who sincerely took up its submissive hearing. A big part of our effort, I mean, this, again, this second chapter has got everything. we need. But a big part of our effort is to have the right attitude in our approach to hearing and the approach to those who are providing this opportunity for hearing. And it certainly is a very essential part of our training others. Just like Srikant's question yesterday. It's such a simple thing. But if that simple thing isn't captured, it's just a struggle. A sincere, but because some fundamental thing is missing, foolishly directed struggle. Mamevi prapadyante mayamitam tarantite. Otherwise it's duratyaya. The struggle is with the mind. And the mind is very strong. The mind beats us up all the time. It's like a big bully. Not only bully right next to it, bully right in our head. Beats us up all the time. Cut it out. Pow. But mami vayipa padyante mayamitam tarantite. Krishna helps in all respects. How to get there? This is the map. How does the thing work? Here's the technology. It all makes sense. And Krishna doesn't interfere. If you say no, he says, okay. Or maybe, okay, maybe. Yes, all right, let's go. The canvassing is there, but then the act of volition is from our side. Okay. Any discussion?
From yesterday's verse, and today's verse, even the impersonalists pretty much recite the same verses. Then
sure, Janadapi, Suni, Chaina. They like that one.
Then how is it that that message doesn't act on their hearts?
Well, you know the answer to that. They're Krishna, just from here. Hridyanta stha. Krishna is within the heart. He knows their mentality. Their mentality is, out of the way, Krishna, here I come. So that means, I don't want purification, I want to be God. Well, you can't be God. I want to be God. Excuse me, but you can't be God. I want to be God. Okay, here's some illusion. Their heart doesn't get cleansed. That's, you know, the person may say, I want to enjoy. Well, you can't enjoy. I want to enjoy. So then they take such message and twist it and twist it and twist it and then get their own notion and say this is what the scripture says. They don't want to serve. They don't want to be subservient. They want to be enjoyers, just fundamentally. And there's different ways people have an idea I want to enjoy. Bhukti mukti siddhi. Like our discussions about Chavana Muni or Durvas Muni, you know, how could a person who's so advanced be lusty and angry and grumpy and, you know, just have accentuated material qualities? How is it possible? Someone can become powerful by Vedic means, but not desire to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and become purified through that shelter in the Supreme Lord. They want some siddhi, or they want some gyan. So the Vedic process is powerful. And they get some power.
When you were talking of motivation, if I understand that, you're talking about anukul and pratikul, the favorability to serve Krishna versus not wanting to serve Krishna.
Yes. Devotees have very strong desires. Everything that's can be used in Krishna's service, I want to see that gets used in Krishna's service. With spiritual passion. Now one has to be careful because very easy for one not advanced to fall into another position. Material passion and the material anger and frustration. So we take our careful route of regulating things.
The translation said that Krishna acts as the benefactor of the truthful devotee.
So
does that mean that to the degree that we are sincere and applying or introspective and want his purification, he acts, and otherwise he doesn't interfere?
Proportionately, yes. Because where there's even mixed devotion, there's some interest in Krishna.
Maharaj, I mean, at this point, it's clear to me that spiritual life is about service. It's about service to Guru and Krishna. I mean, at least intellectually, I know that. And even within the realm of service to Guru and Krishna, I'm becoming aware of so many ifs and buts that I have, so many attachments, so many subtleties. And at any point of time, I know that these are the things that are kind of stopping me, and this is what is the ideal Krishna conscious. It's to just let go of everything and do our best and let Krishna take over. But it's a struggle sometimes. I can't let go, and it's... And when I look deeper, it's a lot of fear, anxiety, insecurity. It's like no trust or something. Mm-hmm. And it's an obstacle to surrendering. And I'm really struggling with that, Maharaj. Like how to... It goes beyond intellectual. I mean, intellectually, I can't really convince myself that this is what is surrendering or this is what I need to do. Like, what are some of the practical ways in which we can... Even
right away I would say two things. They're not particular techniques or anything, it's just an overall outlook. Don't get on the platform of letting your mind beat you up, because that's there. Rather, direct your mind towards a faithful moving along, faithfully moving along the path towards gradual purification. In other words, looking where you've been, not just you, but any one of us, looking where any one of us have been to where we are now, there's some movement. And so this process works. Exactly how it works, it's a bit of a mystery, but it works. And it works sometimes like this, sometimes like this. It's got all kinds of ways, but it works. And so let me not necessarily get in the platform of down in the trenches with my mind and duking it out, but just place my mind with faith in the process. And my dear Lord Krishna, I'm so contaminated. I have so many imperfections, so many disqualifications. But, so rather than going but the other direction, go to Krishna, but you're very merciful, please accept. I want to come to that stage where I don't have these things that I'm holding on to. I don't have these fears and attachments and misconceptions. But that's the condition. It's due to such long material contact. I want to give this life to you. Please accept my service. Please help me become. And when that desire is expressed, I'm over here, I want to be over there. And I can't get there alone. That's a nice realization. That's a bhakti realization. We're not alone. If it was dependent upon our own effort, we might as well toss in the towel before we even start. It's not going to happen. That doesn't mean we make it sincere. So the overall thing, more important than technique, is the proper disposition. I have these fears because I'm attached on the material platform, but it's not my real spiritual identity. So I can look at that fear in the face and say, "Ha! Excuse me, I'm moving on." That's like, you know, somebody might not understand why any one of us, a friend or a relative or somebody. I just received a letter from somebody that went on a public book distribution thing at a Heritage of India function, and they noticed that people were looking at them. Look, they've got a dhoti and tilak on. You know, isn't that weird? This is fanatical. And, you know, they were giving that vibe. You know, materially attached people, they were threatened by that, so they were vibing like that. It was just didn't affect them. Whereas their understanding was previously that would have affected them. So it's not a matter of callousness, it's a matter of transcendence based upon feeling Krishna's, feeling the protection and upliftment and the purification. Doesn't, I mean, to be clean feels better than being unclean. However, we may not be completely in our hearts clean. It's breathing room compared to just a heart infested. And it's one of the things that's that this is not exactly a technique, it's a principle. Preaching. By working with others, and I know you have this experience, by working with others, you can see through the experience of others how entangling material desires are. It gives little encouragement. Let me step up. Take courage. And not just bash, but rise above on the strength of Krishna's protection. The Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. You're not alone. And Krishna's not just a janitor, he has so many people that help him. So many shaktis and so many persons carrying those potencies, and Krishna's just tooting his flute, and his devotees are doing so many things. But it's his internal potency that's acting. And so let your mind go there. The uplifting effect of Krishna's internal potency. I'm spending a little bit of time on this because it seems to be like a theme, like a major lesson to learn. That the solution is not duratyaya, not struggling with, but rising above by taking shelter. Those impurities, they're embarrassing, and they're no fun. Let's take another position. Approach that situation in a different way.
Situation in my house right now is best for me.
Well, that's a I would re-edit the premise and say in every situation there's something to learn. Krishna has sanctioned the situations that we're in so they can learn something. What is it Krishna wants to learn? This other approach is Krishna wants you to accept this is the best situation for me. That there's something to be learned. I mean, there's lots of people in very unfortunate situations, and it's not the best. That specific idea is, I would prefer to see it edited slightly. You could, I suppose, turn it inside out and say, I would not learn the lesson that Krishna would like me to learn unless I was in the situation. But that's, you know, Krishna is, he's unlimited and he can have us learn lessons in so many different ways. But Krishna has made this arrangement to learn a particular something about life, and here I am, and here's the situation. What's the lesson? So they don't have to go through this again.
I'm trying to be very grateful towards my parents. Because of my father's very unfavorable attitude.
Well, a lot of that, my sense is that a lot of those, not just you, but in general, those kinds of feelings have to do with attachments. One's own material attachments and the lack of spiritual strength and spiritual shelter to rise above one's own and the other party's material attachments. In other words, my parents are both deceased, so I don't have the opportunity to confront my own attachments in relation to my parents. You know. So I could easily, you know, the way that I've been meeting life even when they were alive, I could appreciate they've given me some very wonderful gifts, you know, certain values. Maybe I took them more seriously than they meant them. But I got them from them, besides, you know, the gift of life and so forth. But principles that I lead my life by, and I didn't have any guidance how to do that, and that frustrated me, but that quality I gained from them. They didn't know how to take me further. They didn't know how to direct me to somebody who could take me further. And when I did find somebody who could take me further, you know, they felt bad about it. They felt intimidated by it, resentful for, you know, but that's their attachments. So it would have been difficult to stay in that atmosphere, but I can certainly, you know, not having to stay in that atmosphere, I can certainly have appreciation for the gifts. They got me started in the right direction. And then later on, privately, they became supportive, but that didn't get aggravated by having lots of contact. It was a gentle ride rather than a rough ride. So being grateful for the gifts that they've given to you, that they represent in your life, may be hard to do in the context of, you know, what's happening right now. Without detailing it, but you know, they're not understanding why you do this, and why your faith is like that, and why you choose like this, why you aren't comfortable with that. and why you're not like them. You know, psychologically, I could understand very easily in relation to my parents why that's an issue. They were, literally, they were taking it that I'm rejecting them. Everything that they did that was good, I just trashed it. And I'm saying, you're bad, and this is good, and you wasted your time. You've been wasting your time. So many years of your life, you're wasting your life. So that, you know, they couldn't handle that message. But I represented that message. Although I wasn't saying it to them, I represented it to them. That that was, you know, better that it was some distance. That's part of the message. But that's not the present situation. You don't have that privilege. I'm dealing with two situations right now where it's practically every day, and there's a fundamental, I'm dealing in a situation where I know that I'm misunderstood, and there's some very strong feelings because of that misunderstanding, and still I'm trying to help the person in the situation because there's a critical thing that's going on, and the other person is instrumental in help making it right. They think I'm, you know, one of the worst persons on earth. It's okay, but I, you know, it would be quite a different thing if I was in the same house with that person. Day to day, but I can understand why they're feeling the way that they're feeling. Although it's not, it's wrong. And others are saying the same thing, and they don't accept because they're attached to their conception. Okay, it's weird, but it's okay. In other words, that little detour was just to say, I can sympathize, and I'm not suggesting you do something that I'm not doing myself. Try to understand the other person's perspective, and then it's easier to be accepting. You don't have to like their perspective, but you can accept their perspective.
I try to do that, like, you know, I understand where they're coming from, but my silence has been taken as, like, you know, boom, boom, I can say what I want to say. And I'm thinking, how long should I be silent? But the more I'm quiet, the more stronger he gets about his opinions. And he doesn't say that with me. It's like other devotees, when they come home, that's when he expresses that next way.
Well, I don't want to get into the micro of the situation. I think your husband can help you with that. Obviously, you have to make some boundaries and expect the boundaries are going to be transgressed, but still you make the boundaries. Look, let's not go into this territory. Not going to be productive. I understand you have your feelings and your opinion. You understand I have my feelings and my opinion. And we're going to, as the saying goes, we agree to disagree, but we'll go through some disagrees. This is territory we're not going to enter into. With the expectations that it'll be transgressed. But, you know, not get disturbed because it is. Just say, let's draw the line again. Look, I thought we dispassionate way.
Yeah.